economic levels. Jesus is Lord over every single person from Adam and Eve to the last person conceived. That's why he's called Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's over all people. Every person who, for whatever reason, has had the title King or Lord, they will bow down to Jesus. That is a truth that was made known by a special event when Jesus was born. Most nativity scenes depict the special event. Do you know what event I'm referring to? The event is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. The beginning of Matthew chapter 2 tells us, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him.'" The wise men who came to find Jesus, who was born king of the Jews, they were not Jews. They were from the east. But they came to find the king of the Jews to worship him. And they did worship him. Later in the chapter, we're told, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him. Now just let that sink in. They worshiped him. They worshiped a human baby, a child, and it wasn't idolatry because they were worshiping their Lord God. And as part of their worship, we're told, then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's an extraordinary event. Jesus, the child, who had human flesh they could see, they could touch, was worshipped by people who were not even Jewish. They fell down and worshipped him. We're not told a lot about the wise men who worshipped Jesus. And nativity scenes depict three wise men simply because the text mentions three gifts. But all we know for sure is that there was more than one. It's plural, wise men. There may have been two wise men. There may have been 10. There may have been more. We don't know. But we don't have to know a lot about the wise men to understand their part in Jesus' birth. God brought them via the star to show that people, that there will be people from all nations who will bow down before the fully human, fully divine Jesus our Lord. At the very beginning of Jesus' human life, we're shown his lordship over all people. The wise men came looking for the king of the Jews because the king of the Jews, the baby born of the line of David, is the king of kings, the Lord of lords. And as the good news of Jesus continues to spread, people from all the different nations continue to bow before Jesus. And by the time Jesus returns, there will be people from every nation, every tongue, who gladly bow before him and worship him. I listened to John's vision recorded in Revelation chapter 7. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" The wise men were the first of many wise Gentiles who will bow to Jesus, fully human, fully divine. Jesus is Lord over all people. That's detail number two. Now the third detail I'm going to point out is an extension of detail number two. Namely, Jesus is your Lord whether you recognize it or not. Whether you recognize his title or not, whether you want him to be your Lord or not, he is your Lord. Sometimes we Christians will use the phrase, "Make Jesus the Lord of your life." Or sometimes we'll ask the question, "Is Jesus the Lord of your life?" I've used that phrase and question myself because there is a sense in which the statement or the question is appropriate. The point of the phrase or question is a call for you to gladly bow your knee to Jesus. But don't let such statements or questions confuse you. You are not the one who determines Jesus' lordship. He is the Lord. And He will be the Lord forevermore. No matter what you might think, He is the Lord. The Philippians passage we just read makes that abundantly clear. It says that when Jesus comes again, every knee will bow and confess what? That Jesus is Lord. Many people will not gladly bow their knees, but they will bow because there will be no denying the truth that Jesus, the human divine being, the one person, fully human, fully divine, He's Lord. When Jesus returns with His full power, authority, and glory, all people, from Adam to the last person conceived, will acknowledge that He is Lord. And so whether we want Him to be or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, we're going to bow before Him. You cannot and will not get away from Jesus' lordship. Now listen to this. If you do not gladly bow to Jesus in this life, then you will be crushed as His enemy for all eternity. This is part of what His lordship means. The book of Hebrews reveals it to us. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10 says, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet." There we see Jesus, the Lord, crushing His enemies. Those people who will not bow their knee gladly to Him. Jesus is your Lord whether you recognize His lordship or not. That's detail number 3. Now, detail number 4 is this. Jesus is a gracious Lord. Jesus is an amazingly gracious Lord. Verse 5 of our text is full of lots of foundational theology. Look at verse 5 with me. Verse 4 ends with the words, "Jesus Christ our Lord." And then verse 5 says, "Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations." Paul speaks of receiving grace and apostleship from Jesus, and when you look at Paul's life, it's very clear that he did indeed receive grace. I say that because Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Paul oversaw the killing of Stephen, the first martyr to Christ, and Paul wasn't going to stop with Stephen. Paul wanted to stomp out Christianity, and therefore Christians were afraid of Paul, but the Lord Jesus treated Paul with grace and then made him an apostle. We read about it in Acts chapter 9. Paul was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, both men and women, and Jesus appeared to him in a great light and said to Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" The Lord Jesus could have crushed Paul right then and there. The Lord Jesus could have sent Paul to hell that very moment, but instead the Lord Jesus treated Paul with grace and made him an apostle. Jesus revealed Himself to Paul and gave Paul the gift of faith, and Paul was saved. Paul repented, his sins were forgiven, and Paul was made an apostle, he who had been a persecutor. He went from persecutor to apostle by the grace of Jesus. Paul didn't do anything to earn or deserve forgiveness and apostleship, and Paul never tried to pay Jesus back for what Jesus gave him. Paul understood grace. Paul understood grace as undeserved kindness. Paul knew he received salvation he did not deserve, a salvation he could never pay back, and Paul never tried to pay it back. And dear friends, it is also by grace that we are saved. Jesus comes to us through His Word, the Bible, and Jesus says to us, "I am the Lord God, the one that you've been sinning against. The one who took on flesh to live and pay the cost of your sins against me that you might have life. And he offers that salvation as a free gift to us. He graciously grants the salvation that he bought with his own blood. We don't pay anything for it. And we don't do anything for it. He just gives it to us. One of my favorite parts about being a preacher is declaring to people, if you repent and turn in faith to Jesus Christ, he will forgive you and you'll be saved no matter what you have done. Jesus has the authority to forgive you and save you because of what he has done. And you don't have to do anything to receive that gift. You can be saved this very moment because of what Jesus, the Lord, has accomplished. If we don't understand that about the gospel, we don't understand the gospel, this amazing grace of the gospel. There's not one person who will ever deserve to be saved, and no one who is saved will try to pay Jesus back, because you can't. Just like when you receive Christmas gifts, you don't try to pay people back for your Christmas gifts. Likewise, when you receive salvation from Jesus, you don't try to pay him back. You can't anyway. Jesus is a very gracious Lord. Now, understanding all those details about Jesus, we then need to consider how we should respond to this one who holds the title Lord. And that's what the next overall point is about. Right response to the one who holds the title Lord. The right response is to gladly bow your knee to Jesus today, realizing what an awesome privilege and joy it is to have him as your Lord. Realizing how gracious he is, realizing what an awesome Lord he is, gladly bow your knee to him right this very moment, today. And please realize that as part of bowing the knee, you will certainly repent of sins that you've committed against him, asking him to forgive you. And then you will begin to obey Jesus in order to give him the honor that is due him. You're not really bowing your knee to him who has all authority if you don't do that. I'm not saying begin to obey him in order to pay him back. We can't. That would actually dishonor his grace. If we tried to begin to obey him to pay him back, that would dishonor him. Obeying him to pay him back would be a prideful response. Our response should be completely humble. We should bow our knee and gladly, joyfully obey him to honor him. That is what saving faith does. Saving faith is faith that gladly recognizes Jesus is our gracious, amazing Lord and gladly and freely obeys him to honor him as Lord. That's what the last words of verse 5 are about. Look at verse 5 again. Through whom we have received grace, this amazing, awesome grace and apostleship, to bring about what? The obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. Notice that Paul speaks of the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. That's the climax these verses we've been looking at all Advent have been reaching. That is the climax, that part I have underlined. Paul was called to bring that about because that is what Jesus deserves. Jesus is the Lord. When you bow to him humbly, repenting, gladly obeying him for the sake now of his great name among all the nations, because he's Lord of lords. Dear friends, please understand that saving faith is obedient faith. And there is no such thing as saving faith that is not obedient. It doesn't exist. Saving faith is obedient faith unto the glory of he who is Lord of lords. There is no other kind of faith. I'll emphasize that by asking you some questions. Now think Think with me here. This is the climax. This is what it's all about. When you hear me say, I believe Jesus the Christ is the Lord of Lords. When you hear me say, I believe He is a gracious Lord. I believe He is an excellent Lord. I love Jesus who is the Lord. When you hear me say that, what should you instantly expect to see in my life? Should you expect to see obedience to Him or disobedience? Should you expect to see interest in who Jesus is or disinterest? Or how about this? I'll add this to the picture I'm drawing. When you hear me say, I believe Jesus is the Lord of Lords, and I believe this Bible is His holy word to me. When you hear me say that, I believe the Bible is Jesus, my Lord, speaking to me. Do you expect me to put this Bible on a shelf and forget about it? How do you expect me to treat this word when it's from my Lord, my King? Just not put it on the shelf. Or how about this? Do you expect me to pick and choose from this word from my Lord what I like and what I don't like? Let's pick and choose. What if you heard me say, I love Jesus, my Lord. He's a gracious Lord. He's an awesome Lord. And then you heard me say, and I really love Psalm 103, verse 8. That's a great verse. I love that verse. I'll put it on the screen for you. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. I do love that verse. And what if you heard me say, I'm going to put that verse on my mirror every day, just so I can see that verse every day. Reminder of who my Lord is. That's a great verse. I love that verse. But then what if you heard me say, you know, that verse in Matthew 5:22, I don't really know about that. I don't really like that verse. It says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. What if I said, you know, that verse about judgment and hell, about being angry at others, I don't like that verse. I'm not going to pay attention to that one. If I said that, and I also said, I love Jesus, my Lord, and I believe this is my Lord's holy word to me, would that make any sense at all? It doesn't, does it? It just simply doesn't make sense. Because a right response to the title Lord is a total and complete glad obedience to everything He says. Think of the wise men with me. What would you think if the wise men's story went something like this? The wise men came and they found the baby Jesus. And they said, we believe that this child is the Lord. But then they said, but we're not going to bow down because we don't bow down to anyone. Or what if they said, we're not going to worship Him because we just really don't feel like it. How would you like to depict that in your nativity scene? You know, wise men just standing there. We don't bow down to anyone. Here's the Lord, but we don't bow down to anyone. That makes sense at all? Dear friends, when you stop and you think about it, the only sensible response to the truth that Jesus is our gracious Lord, the Lord of Lords, is to worshipfully bow, repent, and then obey Him, to honor Him as the Lord He is. And that is what true, and hence saving faith, does. There is no other kind of faith except false faith. And so now I ask you to honestly look at your life. How have you been responding to Jesus, who is the Lord? How have you been responding to Him? As you think about that, I want to read you one more passage today. This is another passage we don't like to put on our mirror, but it's a passage we need to hear and think about. It's part of the word of the Lord to us. In Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 21, we hear Jesus say this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of what? Lawlessness, disobedience.'" You see, that passage makes it very clear that some people say, "Jesus is Lord," but they don't mean it. They don't mean it. They don't gladly bow their knee to Him, wanting to obey Him, to honor Him. They're not interested in His will being done. Jesus says to them, "I never knew you," as people who bowed to me as Lord. Saving faith includes glad-hearted obedience that wants to honor Jesus, who is the Lord. So again, I ask you, how have you been responding to Jesus? I certainly don't want you to leave here thinking that if you sin, you're going to end up in hell. That's not the message today. A glorious truth that we've learned today is that Jesus is our gracious Lord. He forgives our sins. And we all still struggle with them. But I also don't want you leaving here thinking that it makes sense to sing on Christmas Day, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. The Lord, He's here." It doesn't make sense to sing that and then enter the new year living however you want to live, ignoring His word to you. It simply doesn't match. So the call today is to right now gladly bow your knee to Jesus, who is Lord. Repent and gladly obey Him, to honor Him as the Lord He is. I'm going to give you a moment to think about your life, just a moment of silence to think about your life, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer of confession. Let's bow in silence. I'll ask the, why don't we have our singers come up, our worship team come up right now before we bow down. I'm going to give us a time of silence. We'll pray together, and then we'll sing together in response. Let's bow. Our Father in heaven, as we silently bow before you, we ask you to help each and every one of us think about our lives and how we've been responding to you. Father, we're thankful
that we can consider our lives knowing that you are a gracious God. Jesus, our Lord, is gracious. We're thankful that we can consider our lives knowing that Jesus came in order to live and die that we might be forgiven and cleansed and redeemed. We're thankful to know, Father, that the salvation offered through Jesus is completely free, that Jesus has done all the work, and that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Him alone. And Father, recognizing that, we ask you to forgive us our sins. Father, we confess before you that we do not always treat Jesus as our Lord. So often we make ourselves our Lord. We define the rules the way we want them to be. We live as we desire. So often we don't even pick up your word to us. We ignore our Lord speaking to us. And we ask you to forgive us, cleanse us. And Father, having heard your word today, we pray that we would now more fully begin to obey Jesus gladly. We pray that you would work in our hearts in such a way that our lives will continue to be transformed, and that our obedience will be beautiful and wonderful, growing every day. We know that's how we should live. We recognize that Jesus is Lord. May we live that way by your grace and the power that you give us. Father, we also recognize that there might be people here today who are hard-hearted towards Jesus. They have not yet repented. They have not yet bowed their knee. And we pray, Father, that you would be gracious to them and change their hearts right now. Father, may all of us leave here as people who gladly bow their knee to you, to your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Unto his honor, unto the glory of his name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.